Okay, I'd like to call to order the meeting for Tuesday, October 10th. So we're called to order. Before we start, I would just like us to go around the room and kind of introduce yourself real briefly so that those of us who may not recognize who you are, just tell us, you know, who you're representing or what department or whatever, why you're here. And then once we're done with that, we'll go to whoever's online so that we can see and all be part of a meeting together. So if we could start over there and you could give us your name and information.
Hi, I'm Tammy Capo. I'm the CFO for Human Services.
I'm Rebecca Dutter. I'm the Assistant Director for Human Services.
John Jansen, Director of Human Services.
John O'Day, County Supervisor.
Karen Kirstein, Senior Administrative Assistant.
Lori Plummer, Health Director.
Julia Robinson, Board of Health.
Foster, Board of Health.
Don Gerlach, Pediatrician with Aurora.
Juan Torres, Board of Health.
And do we have anybody online?
Jennifer Fawn from Corporation Counsel.
Jennifer's on here.
Jen from Corp Counsel.
Okay, anyone else?
Kenny Harper, Board.
Hi, Kenny.
Hi, Kenny.
Thanks for coming. Anyone else? Looks like we've got a couple people. Are you willing to give your names and let us know kind of what you're interested in? Okay, guess not. All right.
Is there any citizens?
Do we have any citizens? Anyone? Okay, well, I mean, people are always welcome. We just, it's helpful to be able to have conversation. All right. I need approval of the minutes of January 10th, reorganizational and the regular meeting. Move second.
Second.
I need approval of the, all those in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. I need approval of the February 14th, March 14th, April 11th, May 9th, June 13th, August 8th, and September 12th meeting minutes. Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motions pass. Do we have, any public comments? Any public comments? Closing public comments. President's comments. Just a couple things. A reminder that next month is our last meeting for the year. It is virtual or in person. People are able to participate in either one. Then we will reconvene in January. And the one in January is in person. So if people can make sure you put that in your calendars now so that Board of Health people have, so that we know that we're going to have a quorum because we're going to need to be able to vote on some things then. Also, we do have a few people on right now whose terms expire on the Board of Health in 2024. So I'd like you to kind of look at your calendars, look at your interest level, look at how you can participate and whether you want to continue. That would be Kenny Harper, Dr. Foster, and myself. So all of us need to look at, hi, Rhea. All of us need to look at our interest levels and our calendars and see whether we can commit and if we are, and let Lori and Karen know either way so that they can continue to follow the process for our approval if we need to do that. Other than that, that is the end of my president's comments. Moving on to health officer director's reports.
I'm going to defer my comments until after our budget presentation to make sure we have enough time for the presentation. So I'll defer to Tracy.
You are Tracy Powell. Here to present 2024's proposed budget to be today. The second sheet of the presentation is just a copy of our org chart to show how we're laid out. I think everyone's been working with how the departments are all laid out and how they work under each other. My folks are on the far right there. But I'll get right into the numbers because I'm sure that's what everyone is the most interested in. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay.
Here, but I'm not sure that we can see if you can. Is there a way to enlarge it?
No.
No. Okay. Thought I tried.
Everyone should have gotten a copy in your email. If you didn't, I can give you a copy before you leave here today. Just let me know. So the first section talks about FTE changes. Really, there's just 1.5 FTEs that are a change from last year. I'll get to where the actual reduction is in a minute. There's a couple swaps that we did. So we've swapped out one nurse practitioner in favor of a nursing supervisor. So it was, I think, kind of hard to fill that second nurse practitioner position that was budgeted in for 2023. So we hired late last year a supervisor for our clinic. So that's the first change that you'll see a negative and a positive there. The next change is we decided to forego a public health nurse in our home visiting department in favor of a public health strategist. That was actually in the works last year, but it started at the end of 2023 with a vacancy. They thought they were going to fill it with a nurse. They ended up filling it last year with a strategist. So we're just updating our budget accordingly to the actual FTE title. The next one is a public health tech. You'll see a change there. Our public health tech that worked in our lab decided to resign. We are getting a new piece of equipment in our lab, and that requires someone with a degree to operate that machine. So at the bottom of the list, you'll see a laboratory technologist. It's an NE10. We just wanted someone with a little bit more ability to be able to handle the machine and the upgraded needs in the lab. And then the biggest change that really affects the overall department is that our PELPS program is going to be transferred over to Public Works. And we have 1.5 FTEs currently dedicated to PELPS. Those 1.5 FTEs are going to be moved over to Public Works. So a net change of a reduction of 1.5 FTEs for the health department for 2024. The dollars and cents, are displayed for you in the next section. So we had last year budgeted 128 for the nurse practitioner. The total costs of the supervisor were 125. The public health nurse was 86 in favor of the strategist that came in at around 70. The public health tech for the lab, current salary for this year was budgeted at 86. And next year we've got that second to the bottom at 92. The FTEs for the environmental health tech are the 29.2 and the 90,000. We do anticipate one of our employees adding on medical insurance for 2024. So there's about a $24,000 change there. And then the bottom number, the 127,804, is really just a net change of all the increases that we anticipate for reviews and things like that in 2024. Let's see. So moving on to the bottom section for contractual changes. There's really minimal changes in most of our categories there. You'll notice that other professional fees went up quite a bit. We've got some increase in our admin budget because of just some increasing changes in our costs. One of the big things is that next year we will be writing for a new HUD budget. So we've budgeted some additional dollars there for some additional consulting time that we're going to need for that. And then the bottom one is probably the next biggest change in that area. And we are getting some new lab equipment. We've gotten some new lab equipment. A lot of the preventative maintenance costs are going up for that lab equipment. So that's why you'll see that change there at the bottom. So supplies, minimal changes to advertising. Mileage actually went down a little bit, and that's just based on things that were trending for 2023. We've seen that go down a little bit, so we reduced that budget a bit. Lab and medical supplies. So there's a net reduction of about $7,600. We actually increased our clinic supply budget by about $15,000, because that's where we seem to be spending more. But we were able to reduce the overall clinic by about 23 based on the trend at the time that we worked on the budget. Staff development, we did a little bit of a decrease. One of the reasons for that is because our workforce grant dollars ran out in 2023. And that's where a lot of our staff development was budgeted. And then just based on the need in the departments, we felt like there could be a reduction in that area. Other operating supplies have gone up quite a bit. The good news here is that is very largely focused on our HUD and home visiting areas. And we believe we're going to see a lot of growth in those areas, and asthma as well. So HUD is really, really starting to recover post-COVID, getting more and more people signed up for that program, as well as our asthma program, which has really, really thrived this year. She's really increased enrollment a lot, and she's got an enormous budget for durables is what they're calling it. So all of that increase is grant funded. And again, the relocation expenses that relates directly to our HUD program. With more participants, we're gonna have more relocation expenses. And then our home visiting, they're going to be doing more events and things like that, again, completely grant funded. Fixed charges. Billing insurance always goes up a little bit each year. This year, they're expecting it to go up about $6,200. Our rental is actually going down. We decided to forego our space at the Uptown WIC clinic. So our rent is actually going to be decreased a little bit in 2024. And in 2024, we have a couple of these vehicles that are coming off of their leases. We'll need to replace those with new leases. Based on the numbers that we have, we project about a $9,400 increase for vehicle leases. So we're not adding anything to the fleet, just replacing aging vehicles. Grant changes. So we talked about HUD a little bit already. That first one is HUD contractor services. So with additional funding, additional relocation, additional participants, we're going to obviously have a little bit more of expense when it comes to hiring the contractors to do that abatement work. WIC, we're getting a nominal increase in funding as well as an increase in expense. We're kind of a pass-through for the WIC program. Let's see what else is on there. SAMHSA grant is our opioid response team. It looks like a decrease mainly because we had about $106,000 of, that's revenue. So let me talk about the expense. We need, now that we've really immersed ourselves in that program with the fire departments and with Oakwood and our peer support specialists, these numbers are based on our actual reported needs. So I think in 2023, we budgeted not knowing what our needs would be, but now we've got a really good picture of what those needs would be. So we budgeted accordingly, and we were able to reduce the expense budget in that area a little bit. And then ARPA, we've got $275,000 budgeted for purchase services. Our ARPA money runs out at the end of next year. So it's, we don't use it, we lose it. No capital purchases budgeted for 2024. And there is a little bit of a change in our interdivisional charges. Our interdivisional charges are the things that our lab and our clinic charge other departments within the county for. So it's actually an offset to expenses, because it's technically revenue, but then we had some expense increases as well. So the net difference was a $30,000 change. So we have no bonding requests for next year. State consolidating contract, that I talked about the asthma increase in her programming. So that's really where that additional revenue is coming in. That program is one where we apply for the funding based on what we have
you. So we get up to a certain amount. It's not necessarily a guaranteed like pot of money. It works a little bit differently than some of our grant programs, but we do have that much to work with. So that's why we anticipate an increase in revenue there. Nurse Family Partnership, we got a nice increase in our award. That's our home visiting grant. Family planning, the Title X funds ran out, and then we had a special grant for telehealth in 2023. That is something that just won't be renewed for 2024, so you'll see a reduction there. Reduction because we're not really doing any TB testing.
Tracy, yeah. Sorry about that. We're doing less TB testing than we have in the past,
okay.
But we still are offering.
Correct. We did a little bit of a reduction in Medicaid revenue for some of the clinic things that we bill. They are actively working on being able to charge more people that walk in the door that we won't get paid from other sources. But realistically speaking, we wanted to kind of base our numbers for 2024 based on the trend in 2023. So that's why you see a reduction there. The Nurse Family Partnership Program is actually doing really, really well in Medicaid billing. So we increased those dollars modestly.
Question on that, because you, in the FTEs, you said you switched one of the home visiting nurses to a strategist.
Correct.
Strategist doesn't go out to the home.
They do.
Do they?
They do. Yes. They do different work under the auspices of the nurse, but they do go to the homes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Talked about the increase in our WIC award when I talked about the change in WIC expense. HUD, we expect that to go up about.
Yeah. I'm just curious the WIC that you aren't leasing the space anymore, that the rent is going down. Where's WIC going to be if there's no space there?
It is WIC. It's WIC space, but we were renting, so that their building is there. We rented a space above there to run our part of our clinic out of when we had our old model of nurse practitioner. So we were right after COVID, and even during COVID, we had two clinics running. We had the Uptown Clinic, which was located in a space above WIC, and we had our main center job center clinic. When we talked about the FTE changes and changed our model, we really realized that from a volume perspective, we are better all to be in one area, but that we really needed a supervisor instead of a second practitioner, because operating in a model of practitioner but also a leader is a tough one when you want to see clientele. So we changed that model of care, and then we began satelliting in April out west of the eye in Silver Lake. And, you know, we're offering all services out there. It's a little challenging from a volume perspective, but we're doing what we can to get folks there. And then our thought with not doing any satelliting at Uptown is the fact that we will be relocating our whole entire human services. So we held on to Uptown for a year and paid rent. And we thought we're satelliting west instead of a little more central.
Sorry, I do have a question about that too.
Yes.
There are still the Uptown buildings there were vacated post-pandemic. Are those buildings going to be used at all? The ones that are still going to be, they're still there in the Uptown area?
That's information I don't have. I'm not sure. I mean, WIC is staying there. So we just decided from a volume perspective and staffing perspective that isn't something that we wanted to manage, staff, and run on a daily basis.
So will there be any kind of presence in the Uptown area? Because I see that there's a presence west of the eye. There'll be the new facility that's going to be a little bit further north, but that centralized area, I feel like something is missing.
We are giving up the space, but we still service the space. And by that, I mean, I'm talking to them about doing lead, but down in the WIC area, not in, you know, lead testing down in the WIC area. We have our asthma program over there occasionally offering asthma services, and it's all happening in the WIC area, not upstairs. So our services are still there and offered, but we're not physically there every day. But the clientele do know that the health department is there at various times. Our home visiting team is over there as well. So we're pairing with them, offering services, not every day, but still, and not every day and not in the upstairs location, but downstairs on particular days when we know their volumes are going to be heavier.
Change in, it actually looks like a decrease in our SAMHSA award. That's kind of what I started to talk to you about a little bit when we're talking about the SAMHSA expense budget. We had $106,000 in carryover from the previous year that were budgeted in 2023. So it looks like a reduction because we did have that carryover, but actually our year three award did increase a little bit over our year two award. So the opioid fatality review, kind of a partner grant to our SAMHSA grant. We had a little bit of a change in our award based on actuals. And I think there's an overall cut among that funding because we originally budgeted the 28.5 for 2023. Then they gave us some extra funding that we weren't anticipated. And then they're like, oh, no, we're going to take it. So we kind of did an analysis of what we actually need. And so there's about a $5,800 change in our production. For environmental, $70,000 of our revenues went to move with the PELTS program. So that's why it looks like a decrease. But overall, we're going to be increasing due to our environmental and our licensing fees. And then we got $20,000 increase in our school nurse contract, which will be renegotiated for the following school year. And every single year, our city contribution goes down by $100,000 as part of the agreement to phase that out. So there's a reduction there. And then the remaining ARPA funds are there. $392,547 is what we anticipate having left at the end of this year. Actually, we anticipate having $538,000, which is $392,000 more than what we budgeted in 2023. So I correct myself there. Our COVID money has run out. That's gone. So hence the reduction there. And then we are getting a new grant for public health infrastructure. And we budget $110,750 for that next year. So our levy ask is up by $372,000, which last year our levy ask increase was $379,000. So we could look at it from a positive perspective that way. Expenses, I think overall were an increase of 5%, and about 66% of our budget is payroll. I've got a little bit of a pie chart there as a summary to show where our funding comes from. Our grants stayed at 56%, it's the same as 2023. Our contracts and fees decreased from 19% to 17%. The last thing I wanted to talk about is our fee schedule, because that plays a factor into what we need to approve as part of the budget, what we charge for our services. So we update the federal poverty chart each year. This is updated for 2023. Sometime in 2024, it will be updated again, at which time we will update our chart. But those are our level 1 through 5 fees that we charge for our clinical services. And then this is what we charge for our lab services at the bottom there with a copy of that federal poverty level at the top again. Does anyone have any questions that either I or Lori can answer for you?
Half chemist salary, the city, was that mentioned?
Yes, so the city still pays for half of our chemist's salary. I think with the wage adjustment that we experienced this year, that's an additional $9,000 in revenue for us in 2024. I apologize if I skipped that section. Any other questions?
I'm seeing a
a bigger influx of immigrants.
Yes. So are we.
And not even Spanish-speaking immigrants. They're Quiche.
Yes.
So are you having to budget more for that?
I don't think that impact has hit us yet.
Okay.
But we,
because I know the interpreter service is tough to get to them.
Right. And we've been able to communicate with somebody and their family for the most part. And most of them are uninsured. So I don't think, unless you've seen something, that we have needed to address it yet. But certainly we've seen immunizations, TB testing for them. We've seen an increase overall in our TB cases, latent TB cases. So that we see a trend, and it is a lot from that population.
I'm getting all the new babies.
Yes.
They're coming in with other kids. The other kids are not insured. The babies are insured, but the parents don't know how to continue the insurance for the babies. And we have, like, we don't know how to get them connected to this.
I know if we see that in our clinic, we refer as we can. And we offer what we can to get them seen in our clinic. I don't have a lot of knowledge, quite honestly, on what happens after they pass through us.
Yeah.
And it's more something that we may have to get more involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got like 4 or 5 families. We just had another one more.
Yes. Yes, you've been gracious to work with us on those. And we're trying to intermediately hit with KCHC and connect more with them. So, but it will be an ongoing challenge.
The bottom line is about other fees increase that you see there is for language fine that we use and our interpreter fees. It both increased a little bit for 2024 because of the usage.
Any other questions? Clarifications? I think, can you share with them the percent that was from wage, the percent of our levy increase that was from wage, our wage and salary additions? Do you have that, Tracy? I know at one point we did. It was a fair amount of our levy, and that's what I'm...
I mean, I can tell you that payroll is about 66% of our overall budget.
Yes.
I'm not sure what the percentage of the increase is off the top of my head.
I do know that was a large portion of our levy ask was our wage and salary increase this past year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also can share that it has... we've seen impact from applicants that we get. We just hired a new environmental sanitarian. And it drew in far more applicants that we have seen in the past. And we believe it's from that. And I've heard other stories from my other peer colleagues that in DCFS and others, we really have felt the impact on attracting better candidates.
And keeping.
And keeping. Yes, correct. Oh,
your first.
Do you
want
okay.
Monthly highlights?
I can share a couple of monthly highlights. Should we? That's what I was thinking. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Let's go first.
All right. I need approval of the minutes. I mean, budget.
Budget.
I second.
And moved and seconded to approve the budget. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes. Okay, right. Now back to monthly.
Yeah, I have just a couple updates for you. Some things that I don't normally talk about here, but I think are valuable pieces of information. We've talked a lot about our asthma program, and we have seen a really good increase in our asthma clientele. The stimulus for that was really working with WIC. And WIC has a large text that just texts that they send out to all their clientele. So we work through schools, we work through other venues, providers' offices to try to get clientele for our asthma program. And we're struggling. One text message from WIC and we got over 15 clients just in that one text message. So using WIC and our relationship with WIC has really helped grow our asthma program. And with that, instead of having to perhaps forego the grant and the opportunity to assist those clients moving forward, we were able to roll over about 20 new clients into a new grant cycle. So I think that's, that collaboration alone is helped us serve the community in a lot better fashion. Our Kenosha Thrive team for our Chip and Cha, we have had our last meeting related to the CHA. We picked objectives and strategies to work on, and we're starting to get dates to kick off our three teams for the CHIP, the improvement plan. So those dates will be coming out soon, and we have drafted our CHIP improvement plan, and I'll be sharing that with all of you within the month. Our CORI team, so Kenosha Overdose Response Team, in association with our SAMHSA grant, has been successful. We've had over 50 runs and about close to a 20%, 20% of the time we've been successful in at least them opening the door and having our teams say, you know, we're here, this is who we are, and we're here to provide your help if you need it. But the struggle that we have is we have an MOU with Kenosha Fire Department and EMS. We only get data right now on overdoses that they've been out and treated. So now what we're trying to do is expand our MOU to, we just expanded it to Aurora Healthcare. So we'll be getting emergency department data from them, and we're working with Pleasant Prairie to get more partnership with them for their data, as well as perhaps even personnel. The two struggles that we've had is sometimes Kenosha Fire Department doesn't have personnel that can go out on the runs, the timing isn't right or whatever, and so another EMS program would be really beneficial for us in that. The other thing is just to get the data. So we know, because sometimes Patty can even, or Emmy can even, we see a slew of runs, but we don't get any information because they're either at the hospital or they've passed away or something.
You said that Aurora is cooperating and being helpful. Do we have information from Frater, or?
We have asked, and we just haven't been successful yet in developing a partnership.
Okay.
The confidentiality concerns or something else?
You know, I'm not really sure. They do share their information with crisis, so we may have to bridge to get that, but we're still having some discussions.
Okay.
Tracy mentioned our new instrumentation, our Pro-E, that we're getting for the lab. We're real excited to get that. I, for those of you who haven't heard me with this spiel, we can't currently test at the point of care for fentanyl in our clinic. And because of that, we do a drug screen if folks are on in the MAT program on Vivitrol, we do a drug screen before we give the Vivitrol to make sure that there aren't any things in any substance in their system that would reject or put them into overdose. We had a case in the clinic where we weren't idea that the client admitted to use, but did not know it was laced with fentanyl. And so we were not aware of that, and we gave the Vivitrol, and unfortunately the client went into withdrawals. So this piece of instrumentation will allow us to, at the point of care, before we provide the medication, make a decision, are we good to give the Vivitrol or not? So that was a gift to us from the Opioid Settlement Advisory Panel, it will completely shift how we do our UAs. The instrument will be in the lab. We won't do individual point of cares anymore. Be all run by that piece of instrumentation. So it's a really, really huge step in the right direction for us. And with that, when we had a resignation with our lab tech, we decided, you know, we really would like a person, a more educated personnel to fulfill that role as we even try to grow some other services through our lab. Our environmental staff, it seems to be vicious dog month this week. So we've had a couple of problems with some vicious dogs, but Mark, our environmental manager, has been handling that well. We have, keeping with environmental, but specifically our lead team, which is made up of nurses from our communicable disease team, as well as environmental and our HUD team. We've had three really difficult cases of lead high EBLs, elevated lead levels. Two out of three were repeats from the same family or the same child that we had already done work on the home. One of them was interesting because it wasn't obvious. There wasn't any new lead, you know, appearance of lead, chipping paint or whatever. So we did some environmental testing in the soil, and the soil was the source of that. So just some, you know, different challenging situations that our teams have been working on. And then last, two other things. Our communicable disease team participated in our annual state contract monitoring visit. We passed. There were no recommendations for improvement. We've had some turnover in that staff, and it has seemed to improve our outcomes. And so we are really pleased with that. And then today, as we speak, our state is here to do our inspection for food and residential programs. So right now, the staff is undergoing a 3-day inspection for that. And that's my report. Any questions? Lots of stuff happening.
Wonderful. Thank you. Corporation Counsel's report.
I don't have anything to report.
Nothing to report. Okay. Any other businesses allowed by law? Anyone have anything else? No. Any closing board comments? Do I have a motion to adjourn? Moved and seconded. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
I do appreciate you all coming in person. Thank you.